Welcome to Denver Community Church Online. My name is John Gettings, and I'm so glad you're joining us today. Whether you attend one of our Denver locations on a Sunday or listen online, our hope is to be a group of people who are a just, generous community, practicing love in the ways of Jesus. As you listen to this teaching, allow it to begin a conversation with you and God, you and the Bible, and you and your community. If you have any questions about this teaching or DCC, email us. And if you'd like to help financially support our community and our partners as we give away 20% of every dollar that comes in, you can text Denver Church to 77977. Thank you for joining us today.
Good morning. My name's Amanda Lum, and I'm the Uptown Neighborhood Pastor on staff here at Denver Community Church. It's great to be together online with all of you for our gathering this morning. If you have a Bible, you can turn with me to Acts chapter 2. Over the past couple weeks, we've been talking about and exploring and discussing the importance of community. And this morning, we're going to continue to look at that. And we're actually going to take a look at what community looked like for the early church, what it meant to the earliest followers of Jesus. And as we consider their example, my hope is that we would think through how we may be invited this morning to consider what community can look like for us in this challenging season. But before we do that, I'd like for us first just to take a moment to pause and to breathe and to pray together. So let's do that. Lord, thank you for this morning. I thank you that we are in your presence. God, even though we can't be together in this room, I feel connected to our community, knowing that we are all in your presence. And God, I just confess that it's not easy to talk about community right now. It's not easy to know what that looks like. But I'm grateful that your word offers us a vision for what it can look like in these days. And so I pray this morning that you would soften our hearts to hear from you, to hear from your word. God, may we know your invitation for us, both as individuals and as a community. And may you give us the courage to say yes to that invitation. We pray all these things in your son's holy name. Amen. All right, Acts chapter 2. Now, we're going to look at verses 42 through 47 this morning, but I want to catch us up just a bit on what's happening in the story up until this point. So until now, or up until this point, Jesus has lived his life, he's died and resurrected, and in Acts chapter 1, ascends to heaven. And at the beginning of chapter 2, we're actually told that it's Pentecost, or the Feast of Weeks, which this festival was considered to be particularly important to the Jewish people, because it's one of three pilgrim festivals that requires worshipers to travel to Jerusalem to celebrate and to worship together in the temple. So at this point, we actually have thousands of people who've kind of traveled from all the surrounding areas to be together in one place to worship and to celebrate. And this is actually where we see the Holy Spirit manifest for the first time. There are these massive crowds of people here, and the Spirit comes upon these crowds, and everyone who is there actually begins to hear their own language spoken to them, and they're told about the wonders of God. So as you can imagine, everyone who's here and experiences this for the first time, they're all shocked, and they're all like in awe, right? And understandably, they are terribly confused. Now, Peter, who was there and saw all of this happen, he recognizes their confusion, and he stands up, and he addresses the crowd. And he tells them, let me explain to you what just happened. And he tells them about Jesus. Now, Peter, being a disciple of Jesus, he pours his heart out to the crowds. And we're told that when he's finished teaching, that 3,000 people actually decide to be baptized that day. And they decide to join the community of believers who are following Jesus. And some suggest that many of these 3,000 actually decided to stay in Jerusalem, that they didn't go home, but they decided to stay right where they were to be a part of the early church. And that's where we catch up in the story this morning. Verse 42 through 47, these verses actually give us a picture of what life looked like for this community, what community life really meant to them. Let's take a look. Verse 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. So these verses, they truly are a really beautiful picture of what community can look like, what community can be. But how many of us, hearing these words and hearing about this incredible community of people who can just be together, how many of us just kind of have this feeling welling up in us this side this morning that's just kind of like, do we have to talk about this right now? I mean, I remember a few weeks back when I found out that I'd be preaching on these verses this morning in the midst of everything we're facing. And I remember joking with my husband, saying to him, wow, you know what sounds like a lot of fun? Preaching about community in the midst of mandated isolation. That sounds fantastic. But seriously, I mean, how many of us hear these words this morning and we're just like, really? Really, we have to hear about a community that can meet together every day to worship when we have to watch this from our homes? Like, really, we have to hear about a group of people who can actually be together in their homes, eating and sharing a meal and praying together and together, 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 like over and over. Really? Can we just not today? Can we just not right now? I mean, how many of us hear these verses this morning and are just like, man, this feels like salt in a wound? Totally. Because talking about community in a time like this, it just feels like a punch in the gut, doesn't it? And after 6 weeks of being in our homes, all these feelings make sense. And they make sense because all of us have experienced, have stories of some way how community has been impacted by this devastating virus, how we've lost our sense of connection and community the way that we used to know it. All of us have pain and suffering and loss when it comes to community in this time. And so it hurts to talk about community. So why then are we talking about it? Why are we talking about the importance of community right now? Well, something that you may not know about DCC is that we actually plan our teaching calendar out a year in advance. So when we decided that as a community we would be talking about the importance of community, that decision was actually made last July. And none of us knew that we would be where we are today in July last year. None of us knew that we'd be facing a pandemic. None of us knew that we'd be in the midst of stay-at-home orders and social distancing. None of us knew the reality that we'd be facing right now. But God knew. God knew that we would need to talk about the importance of community now more than ever. And I have to say that I have been consistently and continually humbled by God's provision for our community in ways like this. And so I know that talking about community is not going to be easy for some of us this morning. And if that's where you are, I get that. You're not alone in those feelings. I'm holding that tension with you. So many of us are holding that tension with you right now. But I also believe that we are absolutely meant to look at these verses this morning, today, in this season. We are meant to consider what they have to offer to us, the invitation they may be offering to us to consider what community can look like right now in the midst of our difficult and challenging circumstances. And while I know and I believe that we have to lament and grieve the ways in which we have lost community and lost connection with each other, I also find myself longing to know what community looks like in the midst of our circumstances. Because here's the thing. Our current circumstances, they don't appear to be changing anytime soon. And the moment that I recognized that this is not a sprint, but a marathon, that's when I began to wonder, what does it look like for community to exist right now? What do we do now? We may not be able to change our circumstances, but I believe that we can change in the midst of them. I believe that we can experience transformation in the midst of our circumstances. So what does that look like? Well, in the past couple weeks, as we've been reflecting on what community is, we've often gone back to James Hollis's description of community when he says that community is when individuals have a transcendent experience, one that lifts each person out of their isolation to participate in transformation. So a community is actually just a group of people that's bound together by a shared transcendent experience. What if this unique time is actually presenting us with an opportunity to say yes to a transcendent experience that will lift us up out of our isolation? If it's giving us an opportunity to say yes to transformation together? What if Acts chapter 2 is actually giving us a way to do that? It's showing us how to do that. What if Acts chapter 2 is actually giving us a vision for how we can move forward and to show us what community can look like in the midst of this pandemic? See, as I studied these verses over the last couple weeks, I've come to realize that they're actually a bit of a roadmap for us on how we can experience community now. And not just like experience community at some point because we do these things and then maybe in the future we'll be able to experience it, but maybe they are also a reminder to us that we already are experiencing authentic, transformative, life-giving community, even though it doesn't look the same. In a season where we urgently need it, I believe these verses offer us very tangible and practical ways in which we can pursue, cultivate, and participate in authentic community. They show us a way that we can move forward, a way that we can be changed in the midst of our circumstances. And here's how they do that. The first thing that we're told about the early church in verse 42 is that they were devoted to the apostles' teachings and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Now, this word that's used here for devoted, I mean, it's an interesting word. I mean, often when we think about being devoted to something, I think we can think about it in a way that we're faithful or loyal to it, which is true. That's true. But this word that's used here for devoted in these verses, it actually speaks to something greater than that. It speaks to this sense of perseverance. See, it speaks to this community that persisted and persevered and fought for relationship with each other. See, this community, it just wasn't loyal or faithful to each other. No, they actually fought for one another. They were a community that fought to be together, that fought for each other. And as I realized this, I thought to myself, wow, you know what? I see that happening in our community today. I see so many of us fighting for each other. Even though it looks different in the midst of stay-at-home orders and social distancing, I see us persevering and I see us fighting for one another. I read about this and I thought of my friend Kelsey, who's been a part of a community group here at DCC for 5 years now, and she's been leading that group. And it's been such a life-giving experience for her. And her group, like all of our groups, when everything started to change, decided to start meeting online. And Kelsey told me about their first time meeting online and how, as everyone kind of hung up the call, that she just felt incredibly discouraged and drained and just angry that this is how community had to look right now. She actually felt like she just didn't want to do it anymore, that maybe they shouldn't meet online and they should just put everything on hold for this season. But Kelsey leaned into that grief and that hurt, and she held it. And she also decided, I want to keep trying. I want to fight for our connection as a community. And so she kept meeting, kept hosting times, kept pursuing those in her community group. And just this last week, she shared with me that the last few times that they met, that that's actually been some of the most life-giving experiences of community that she's had in this challenging time. See, community is not easy right now. But we can fight for it. We can fight for each other. We can persevere. My friends, we are persevering in this. We are fighting for each other. Verse 44 tells us that the early church community shared everything in common, that they sold their property and their possessions and they gave to those who were in need. They didn't live gripped with fear or trapped in scarcity, terrified that there wasn't enough. But instead, they saw all that they had as a gift from God, and so they were able to give freely and generously to those who need it. See, the language that's used here in these verses, it doesn't just speak to this being like a one-time thing, like one time they sold their possessions or one time they sold their property. No, it actually speaks to this being something that was just common practice. This wasn't just a one-time thing. It was actually a lifestyle. This is just how they lived. And as I read these verses, I thought of so many who I know who have taken pay cuts or given up their salaries altogether to make sure that their coworkers don't lose their jobs. Or I think about so many of you who have freely and joyfully given away your stimulus checks because you know that someone else needs that more. And I think of so many of you who have given away your toilet paper, paper towels, hand sanitizer, and masks to people, to our essential workers, because they can't find any. I have been blown away considering all the ways in which we have lived as a community that shares things in common in this difficult time. My friends, we are a community who does not have to live in fear or scarcity, but that can and is cultivating a lifestyle of generosity. In verse 46, we read that the early church met in the temple courts every day to pray together. Luke, who wrote the book of Acts, makes clear to the reader that prayer was an essential piece of community life. They prayed. At times, I've felt like that's the only thing I can do. Anyone with me? Yeah, I mean, I've had so many of you share with me that it feels difficult to know how to serve others, to care for others in this time, because your go-to ways of doing that, they aren't an option right now. Literally, to keep other people safe, you can't do what you would normally do to care for them. And see, I've felt some of that same tension. I haven't known how to care for our neighbors or for my family or for our friends or even our church community in this time. And so I've actually found myself praying a lot. Praying for so many of you, I have to say, has been one of the most life-giving things I've experienced in this season, because it reminds me I'm not alone. It reminds me that we are together in this. It reminds me that we are one body in Christ, that we are one. See, prayer can and is bringing us together in this season. In fact, I've seen prayer unite the church in ways that I've never experienced before. Just this last weekend, an all-city prayer gathering took place where people from all across our state actually participated in 72 hours straight praying for our city. A friend of mine who was a part of the initial conversations to kind of help organize this time shared with me about just how humbling and encouraging it was to be on a call with pastors who honestly share vastly different theological views, saying that our differences are not important right now, that they can't be right now, because our city desperately needs us to come together and to be united in prayer. How beautiful is that in the midst of so much division? My friends, we can be a community that is unified in prayer in this unsettling time. We are the body of Christ. We are not alone. We are together in this. And finally, in verse 46, we read that they broke bread together and that they shared meals together in their homes and that they ate with glad and sincere hearts. Now, this one feels probably the least tangible, right? Because it's not actually physically possible for us to do this right now. And maybe for you, like it did for me, it stirs up the most unsettling feelings in me. As I read this, honestly, I just felt like I long for the day when we can be together in this room, where I can serve communion to you. And as you take the bread and the wine, I can look each of you in the eyes and I can say, this is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the blood of Christ shed for you. See, I long for the day that I can go to someone else's house and share a meal with them, right? That day will come, my friends, it will. But until then, community has to look different. And we can lament that we can't be together in this way. And in fact, I think that's important for us to do. But we must also recognize that it is still possible for us to experience community, to experience life-giving, transformative community, that we can still be a community that together experiences relationship with glad and sincere hearts. To see that this was true, I asked several of you what community has looked like for you in this difficult season. To see that this was true, I asked how many of you have been experiencing community with glad and sincere hearts. And I have to say that to read your responses, I was overwhelmed by God's provision and how he has allowed us, so many of us, to experience true, authentic, transformative community. Here are some of the things that you shared with me. Howling with neighbors at night to show our care and gratitude for everyone on the front lines. Sending handwritten notes to people I love. Watching our kids hunt for Easter eggs on Easter morning after friends had hid eggs all over our yard, egging our yard. Thanks, DCC kids. Experiencing the virtual choir on Easter. Croissants and coffee for communion on Sundays. Celebrating birthdays and friends by driving by on our bikes and in our cars, shouting and sharing our love with them the best way we know how. Serving communion to my daughter for the first time in our home on Easter. Seeing how authentic and vulnerable people are being with each other in this hard time. Hosting a happy hour call for women at DCC who didn't know each other at the start, but started new friendships that night. In-home date nights. Seeing my students share parts of their lives and their passions with each other on a call in ways that we wouldn't be able to in a classroom setting. Seeing my kids light up the first time they got to see their friends and teachers on a Zoom call. Opening my door to find fresh baked bread from a friend. Seeing more people out and about and more willing to say hi to each other than ever before. Encouraging words and artwork in chalk all around our neighborhood. Eating out with friends by ordering takeout from the same restaurant on the same night and caring for the staff and business by tipping as much as we can. Connecting with friends over Zoom that we haven't talked to in forever. Seeing 16 of our neighbors participate in the DCC Kids egg decorating contest when only 3 of them have young kids. I love that. That's so amazing. laughing and crying with my community group over Zoom. Movie nights with my best friends over FaceTime. See, reading your responses, I actually thought to myself, our community is living the words of Acts 2, 42 through 47. We are already pursuing, cultivating, and participating in authentic, transformative community. With glad and sincere hearts, they praised God and enjoyed the favor of all people. This is you. This is us as a community. Reading your responses, I couldn't help but think, man, I just want more of that. I want to be a part of something like that. Did anyone else feel the same way? Yeah, like how many of you felt when you heard this list, you just felt something similar, like, oh, you just longed to experience something like that. You longed to be a part of something like that. Well, that's what the early church felt too. See, I think it's no mistake that Luke chooses to kind of bookend these verses by making clear that the early church community was not just about themselves, but that it was a community that was about inviting others to participate in the freedom and the love and then the grace that is offered to us in Jesus. He starts by saying that 3,000 people are added to their number, and then he finishes these verses by saying, and God added to their number daily those who were being saved. The early church wasn't just about their own little community, but it was about inviting other people to experience the same freedom, love, joy that they found in Jesus. One theologian, in speaking about the early church, says that their presence and their witness was infectious. And I have to say, the way that I see so many of you living in transformative community in the midst of these difficult times, I see that your presence and your witness is infectious. Community doesn't look like it did 6 weeks back. It can't. But I truly believe that we are finding ways in which we can pursue, cultivate, and participate in real community. And that this is leading us to transformation, and that it's inviting others to be a part of that with us. And so my question for you this morning is, how will you say yes to community? Now, I don't want you to feel like you have to figure out how to do all of these things today or even in the next week or even in the next few months. But maybe today, just consider what's one way in which you feel invited to experience community, to say yes to community. Maybe you feel like you need to consider ways in which you can persevere in your pursuit of community. Maybe you feel invited to fight for someone in particular. Or maybe you feel led to take your next step in cultivating a lifestyle of generosity. Maybe that feels like giving your time or your energy or your resources to others who need it. Or maybe you feel led to pray. Maybe it's praying in a new way. Or maybe it's praying for someone specifically. Or maybe you actually feel invited to sit back and take a moment to consider and make a list of the ways in which you have been experiencing community with a glad and sincere heart. Maybe you feel led to welcome someone into those experiences with you. Whatever you feel invited to this morning, however we're showing up, my friends, my prayer for each and every one of us is this. My brothers and my sisters, as we navigate a new expression of community in this unprecedented time, may we be those who fight for community, who fight for each other, and who persevere. May we not live in scarcity, but give freely to those who are in need. May we be those who pray and experience unity as we submit ourselves before God as one body of believers. And may we be those who can, in the midst of this pandemic, offer community with glad and sincere hearts. May our presence, our hope, our light, and our love be infectious. Amen.